Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The prayer of our high priest we have before us. Our Lord prayed many times. No one ever prayed as much as he prayed. As earnestly as he prayed, as often as he prayed, sincerely as he prayed, he prayed. And as our high priest, he interceded for us. Prays for us. This is a chapter that we ought to read often. If you want comfort as a child of God, read this chapter and listen to your Lord, your high priest, pray for you. This prayer is still in effect. It's still in effect. Now, there are three things that a sinner must have in order to come before God. You got to have them. The blood, sacrifice for sins, and a high priest. You got to have those three things. And we have all three of those in one person, Jesus Christ. God has provided all that we need in His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into His presence. Now, I want us this morning to look at the first at least eight verses. It says, these words spake Jesus, and he's talking about what he had previously been teaching his disciples. He told them he was going to go away. Where he was going, they could not come. They were heartbroken over it. And then he gives them there in chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Then he spoke to them about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How he would come, the Comforter would come. He would take the things of mine, show them to you. After he spoke these words, he now lifts up his eyes and he speaks to the Father. And he speaks to the Father not only on his behalf because of what he is about to go through. The wrath of God. We can't comprehend what he's about to go through here at this point in time. But he also prays for his disciples, and he prays for the church. He prays for us, those who shall believe on me through their word. He prays for us. You and I right now, we are included in that prayer. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour's come. Been a lot of hours on this earth, hasn't there? A lot of them. You know, there was a time when there was no time. There was a time when there was no time. And then in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And time began. And there's only one reason to mark time. And that's for events to happen and the end. When you're going to time something, you're going to time the beginning of it. And you're going to time, you're not going to see just how long it goes and goes and goes. No, you're going to time the end of it. You set your timer, you know, on my biscuits is 24 minutes. In the morning, I set them to start and I got 24 minutes and my two biscuits are done. I set time on it. And God has set time. The time marks something, and it marks the hour, this hour. This hour is like the hub of a wheel where all the spokes go out, you know, and you got the rim around it. Jesus Christ, crucified, is the hub of the wheel of time. Everything is before Him. Was it say before Christ? Not before the common error. It's before Christ. And then after Him, A.D. Time is marked by Him. He's the hub. Jesus Christ is the hub of everything. If you miss Christ, if I miss Christ, we have missed life. We've literally missed the purpose of absolutely everything if we miss Him. All things were made by Him and for Him. Now, if I am made for Him, I want to know Him for whom I was made. Don't you? He said, the hour has come. This is it. If you take this hour and do away with it, there's no reason for any other hours. There's no reason for it. There's no rhyme or there is literally no rhyme or reason for anything else apart from Jesus Christ. He says here that the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. Put your hand upon me. And he's speaking here as the mediator, as the man. Help me through this. Help me through this. Glorify me. Put your hand on me. Help me through this. For this purpose, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You know, in all of our prayers, and I know our prayers are very selfish. I know that. But in all our prayers, our goal would be for God to answer our prayers in a way that glorifies Him. Isn't that right? It should be. It should be that God answers my prayer, whatever I'm praying about, in a way that's glorifying to Him. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying. Glorify me. Help me through this that I might glorify you in this matter of redemption, in this matter of salvation, in this matter of bringing the people home, a multitude of sinners no man can number. Glorify thy Son that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh for this reason. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. I wish some Armenians would read that verse and listen to what he's saying. You have given me power over all humanity. I have power over all humanity, over every nation, every leader, every human being. I have power over them. I have a power over them. And here's the reason why God gave him as the mediator, as our king. Here's why God gave him power over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as the Father gave to him. This is why if he did not have power over all flesh, if he did not have power over my flesh, over me, I'd never be saved. I wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't either. If he did not have power over all flesh, no one would be saved. But what a powerful statement. I have power over all flesh, and for this purpose, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Can it be any plainer than that? It can't be any plainer than that. That God has chosen a people, a multitude of sinners. I love that doctrine because I'd be lost as lost can be if it were not for that. That I should give to them eternal life. And this is life eternal. Here it is. I want it. Do you want it? Do you really want, now I'm not talking about living forever. Everybody's going to do that. Everybody that comes into this world is going to live forever. Either with the Lord or in hell, in torment. One place or the other. But this is life eternal. Here it is. That they might know thee, the only true God. Now this is more than facts. This is far more than knowing that God exists. This is far more than knowing some things about God. It's knowing God. It's an intimate acquaintance with God. They might know Him in a very personal, intimate, real way. To know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent, because it's impossible to know God apart from Jesus Christ. If a person does not know Jesus Christ, you do not know Him, love Him, you don't know God. It's an impossibility. It is an absolute impossibility to know God in a saving way, to know God, to truly know Him, apart from Jesus Christ. You can't do it. And this is life eternal. What's He talking about? This is the life of God. This is the life of God. You know, when we talk about God giving life, spiritual life, we're talking about the life of God. That's what we're talking about. That's what the Bible's talking about, the life of God. Adam lost that in the garden. We have it in Christ, and we can't lose it again. We can't lose the life of God. They might know Thee, the only true God. There's only one God. The only true God. Only one. And He's revealed in the pages of this book. You're not going to find Him out there in the woods. You're not going to find Him out there. You're not going to find Him anywhere in His full character except right here. So you can find Him. You can see that there's a Creator out there. But you're not going to know. You're not going to know Him until you meet Him in His Word. He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. You know, I realize it's taken me a while, but I realize that's the only reason for me to exist is to glorify God in my life, in my day-to-day living, in my day-to-day interactions with people. My only reason is for existing is to glorify my Creator, to glorify my Savior, to glorify my God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. Now listen, He is the only man who can say, I have. I have glorified You. I have perfectly glorified You. I have perfectly honored You. He kept the law. He magnified the law and made it honorable as a man. He glorified the Father in his speech. When He spoke of God, He spoke the truth. The message He preached, the life He lived, He glorified God. I have glorified Thee. He's the only one that could actually say that. And I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. This is part of Him glorifying the Father. I have finished the work that You gave me to do. I have finished it perfectly. Have you finished your work perfectly? Guess what? You got to get up and go to work in the morning. And the next day, and the next day. Then you get too old to, and you got to retire and die. There you go for finishing something. But our Lord can say, I'm ready to die because I have lived and honored You perfectly. I'm ready. I'm ready. I have finished the work that You gave me to do. He came here on a mission. Jesus Christ came here on a mission. He came here with a work to accomplish. Did He accomplish that work? Absolutely. And He accomplished it to perfection. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Here He shows His eternality. He said, now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with Thine own presence. Glorify me with Your presence. Be with me. And let me Let me share in that glory again that I had with you before the world was ever created. He's showing here His eternality. This is not just a man. This is Almighty God in the flesh. This is who He is. Glorify thou me as a mediator. You see, He's God. He's showing His deity here. But He's also speaking here as a mediator. Put your hand upon me. Be with me. I have revealed, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. It does not say I have manifested thy name unto the men which accepted me as their personal Savior. You know, our Lord made it very clear. You did not choose me, I chose you. And every child of God realizes that. Every child of God realizes that they would never have anything to do with God if God did not have something to do with them in grace and mercy. You gave them me, you gave them to me, which thou gavest me as their surety. He's our Lord speaking here of His suretyship in the covenant of grace. I have a surety. I have one who is responsible for me. God the Father made God the Son responsible for me, this sinner. How do I know that? He called me by His grace. He enabled me to believe. He gave me an interest in Jesus Christ. He gave me a real interest in being saved from my sins. That's how I know it. That's how I know it. I want God to save this sinner. I want to be saved. I can't. If there's anything I can tell you from my heart, I want God to save me from my sins, from myself, from His wrath. Save me from me and save me from Him. His wrath. I want God to save me. Now that is not natural. That literally is not natural. That is a divine work of God to want to be saved from sin and to know God. I want to know God. You want to know God? Think about it. The one who created heaven and earth. The one who created you. The one who created all this. I want to know Him. I want to know Him personally, intimately. I want to be able to walk with Him. Enoch walked with God. Why can it not be said John walked with God or Judy walked with God? Why can it be said? That can be said. If one man did it, cannot another? If one sinner did it, cannot another sinner do it? I want to be able to know God and walk with God before I die. Before I die. And He says here, I have revealed thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. You chose them. And you gave them to me. And they've kept your word. They believe. They believe your word and they keep your word. They've kept it. They haven't twisted it. They haven't diluted it, watered it down. When Peter preached there in Acts, as we looked at earlier, he preached the word. He didn't compromise or water it down. No, he kept it. He preached it as it is. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Do you know that? Do I know that? He said to his disciples. Now listen, the Lord knows the heart. He knows the heart. So when He says, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, that He's reading their heart. They know. They believe this. They believe this. I looked at this and read this morning. I've read this several times. And I asked myself, do I really believe this? I asked myself, do I really know? Is this the beat of my heart? Is this my life? Is this it? Or is it just part of it? If it's just part of it, you're a goner. Or I'm a goner. It's either all in or all out. I'm telling you the truth. It's all in or all out. They have known in their heart that all things whatsoever thou hast given me as a mediator, as a surety, as the Redeemer, as the Messiah, they know that you gave it. You gave it to me. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I've given them the gospel. I've given them your words. He said, as I hear, I speak. And they have received them, just like some of you here. You have received the Word of God as what? The Word of God. I think it's Paul speaking to the, I think it's the Thessalonians. He said, you didn't receive the Word, the Gospel, as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. When I stand here and I open this book and I read the Word, there are those of you who receive it as the Word of God. Not from me, not from a commentary, as the Word of God. The more and more that I preach, the more I want to just go down through here and just let the Word speak. Henry said once concerning this chapter, he said, this is one of those chapters where you probably ought to just read it and make no comments. Just, it's the Lord's Prayer. We're listening to Him pray. As I read this, listen to the Lord pray. Our high priest is praying. I've given them thy word, they've received it, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that. You believe that? Whatever God does with me, whatever He does with me, I believe that that man is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I've given them your words, which you gave me. They have received them and have known without a doubt, truly, that I came from you. I came from heaven. Those Pharisees said, we know you. You're the carpenter's son. Well, it's evident they didn't know him. But you know him. You don't know him as the carpenter's son. You know him as God's son. You know him as God's son. You know him as the Savior. You know him as the Messiah. You know him as the King. You know him as the High Priest. You know him as the sacrifice, the prophet, priest, and king. You know him. And you believed that God sent him. I pray for them. Oh, he said, I pray for them. Speaking here of the disciples. Now over in verse 20, he prays not for them only, but for us also. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The same word that I gave them, they give the people. And those who believe, he said, I pray for them. But I pray for them. I pray for them. I'm going to close here after this because I don't want to take on too much of this at one time, and then next thing you know, we're overloaded. If you can just take home just these verses, just this, what's been said, if you can take it home and think about it, meditate on it, read it again. I pray for them. Oh, my soul, I couldn't think of any greater good news than the Lord praying for me. God praying for me, the mediator praying for me. I pray for them. I pray that they believe. I pray that their faith fail not. Peter, Satan has desired thee to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You wonder how many times that's happened, even for you. Trials you've got to go through, a hard, difficult trial coming up, you can't see. Peter didn't see Satan. He didn't know that was going on. Peter didn't see denying the Lord three times coming down the road. He didn't see it. He said, I'll never deny you. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. But Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. The reason why you, who've gone through trials, and as we go through trials, the reason our faith doesn't fail, we don't leave God, is because our high priest has prayed for us that our faith fail not. When we go through the water and through the fire, he prays that our faith fail not. Or it would. It would. We'd say, why is he doing this? And we would pack our bags and leave. Oh, I pray for them. I can't put that on your refrigerator when you go home. You get up and you're having a bad day, I pray for them. You go through a difficult time, I pray for them. How many times have different ones of you called me or talked to me and say, pray for me, or pray for this one, pray for Doug, you know, pray for this one and that one? And I do. But I don't always remember to. And that's sad. It's sad, but it's so. But he always prays for us. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Whoa, I never, you don't hear that from an Armenian pulpit. I pray not for the world. You know why? Because if he did, he'd have it. If he did, he'd have it. He gets everything he prays for because he prays 100% according to the will of the Father. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They are yours. And you've given them to me to protect. And we'll see this. I'm going to go through this probably for the next couple weeks anyway. You've given them to me as a surety to protect, to keep, and to bring home. Holy, spotless, blameless in your sight. You've given them to me. You know, think about somebody who has a baby, a precious child, and they've got to go somewhere and they ask you to keep that child, to protect and keep it. Do you know how much trust they have in you to do that? I mean, I can tell you right now, it would take absolute confidence in you to take care of that before I leave it with you, before I drop them off at your house. But God the Father took all that multitude of sinners and put them into the hands and care of Jesus Christ and said, protect them, keep them, bring them home. Oh, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He said, I'll not lose one sheep. Not one. If you had 99, if you had 100 sheep and you were out there in the wilderness and one of them went astray, you didn't know where it was at, you probably wouldn't leave the 99 and go after it. He's like, well, that's still pretty good average. I got 99 left. If you're thinking like me, like I ain't not going to go out there and tackle a bear or a lion over one sheep. I got 99 left. I don't really want to go out there and die for that one sheep. Our Lord did. Our Lord did, because I'll tell you why. Listen, if one sheep is lost, he failed. He is an absolute failure if one sheep is lost. If one perishes, He is a failure. He cannot say, he absolutely cannot say, I have finished the work you gave me to do. If one is lost, you failed. You failed. You see, God works on a much higher scale, a much higher standard than you and I. 99, losing one is, we count that as not too bad. With God, it has to be perfect to be accepted. And perfection with him is not only obeying the law, but it's bringing home every one of those lost sheep. Every one of them. Thine they were, And thou gavest them to me to keep. And he will keep them. All right. We'll look at some more of this next week, Lord willing.